Welcome back to the Michael Eric Dyson Show. I'm LaToya Peterson, filling in for Dr. Dyson. Statistically speaking, children who grow up in foster care face a future of homelessness, prison, and unemployment, which are unfortunately very common outcomes. However, with care and guidance from a loving community, children can overcome these obstacles and get their lives on the right path. This is the story of our next guest, Shamika Moore. She's gone from a ward of the state to a young adult, and thanks to a Bill Gates scholarship, will graduate from college next year. Shamika was formerly a youth in the Court-Appointed Special Advocate Program, or CASA, and Crystal Wortham, also with us in the studio, was her CASA volunteer. Both of these ladies join us today to share this triumphant story. So ladies, welcome to the Michael Eric Dyson Show.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. So Shamika, can you start by telling us a little bit about your early life? How did you find yourself in foster care?
Well, during my life, I grew up with my grandmother. I never actually lived with my biological mother until I turned 15. I moved with her in 2005. And it was a case of neglect, so I had to go into foster care, which I chose to do on my own since I didn't have no one to take care of me.
Okay, and was that a hard decision for you?
Yes, because I didn't know where they were going to place me. I didn't want to go to, you know, a bad foster parent or a bad group home, but I had to make a decision.
Right, and so you were scared because you knew some of the consequences of this. Did you stay in contact with your grandmother?
No, she passed away in 2003.
Oh, so. Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. So you entered foster care and you requested to be entered into foster care. So then what happened? How did you get involved with CASA specifically?
Well, like a year later after being in foster care, Mr. Phil, which is Ms. Crystal's supervisor for CASA, he came and did a panel discussion with some of the youth. We had to go to life skills training, and that's how I signed up for a CASA.
What's life skills training?
They teach you about cooking and job training, just different stuff.
Ah, okay. So stuff that, you know, you under normal circumstances you would have gotten from your parents, mm-hmm. you went through a life skills training. And then that's when, during that program, you signed up for CASA. So, Crystal, why did you decide to volunteer with CASA in the first place?
Actually, I have always enjoyed volunteering, and I wanted to make sure that I did something that would be meaningful. And so when I had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Lartigue from CASA about an opportunity to be a volunteer CASA for a young person, I told him I wanted to volunteer with a motivated person as well as, if possible, an adolescent parent. And he paired me up with Shamika.
And why did you request specifically an adolescent parent?
Because I had been a parent at the adolescent age of 14, so I understood the significance of some of the emotional development, some of the public criticisms that you might be subjected to, and other issues that were relevant to your emotional stamina as a teen.
Mm. And so you guys could relate on a personal level right away. What was it like building that relationship? Shamika, why don't you start? What was it like when you first met Crystal?
It was kind of hard at first because being in foster care is a lot of people coming in and out of your life. And when you get that emotional connection with someone, you don't really want them to leave. So I was like, yeah, I signed up for Miss Crystal to be my CASA, but I didn't know what type of person she was. So when she was trying to contact me, I refused to call her back. I didn't want to respond to her emails, but something was just like, just give it a try, and I'm glad I did.
And Crystal, from your perspective, what was it like trying to get Shamika to open up?
Well, I take my appointment very seriously. This role, you are officially appointed by the court to actually investigate and work on behalf of that court. So for me, I knew that I could only imagine how difficult it must be to be in foster care and all the changes that she had to adapt to and cope with. So I really tried to be patient. I corresponded with Bill Lartigue just to make sure that she was genuinely interested. And then he assured me that she was, so I just waited and persistently would contact her once or twice a week, just to reiterate that I was ready when she was ready. So I waited, and she eventually responded. In our very first meeting, we had lunch together. And I told her that I was very happy to be appointed to her as a CASA, but more importantly, I was going to be her CASA if she agreed to a couple of conditions. One of those conditions was that she stayed motivated. The other one was that she learned how to be her own advocate.
Mm. And Shamika, what was that like for you, having someone tell you, you know, you have to stay motivated, you have to be your own advocate for us to have a relationship?
The motivation part was good, but being my own self-advocate, I was kind of nervous about, because I wasn't used to asking people, you know, to do stuff for me or tell them what I need done for me. So I always had someone speaking for me.
Wow. And so that was a big shift for you to you know, really take control of yourself and your life. Mm-hmm. And then later you became emancipated, right? What does that mean for the listeners who might not be familiar with the foster care system? What does it mean to be emancipated?
Well, in D.C., you emancipate out of foster care at 21, which means that you're basically on your own. You know, you get no more help from the foster care system. In other states, it's 18, so...
Right. And that can be kind of damaging, right? Because you talked about going to life skills before. Do you think that you were prepared to go out into the world as a foster care, you know, as a ward of the state?
Everyone thought I was ready to emancipate. I mean, I was ready, but I just miss, you know, people, you know, still doing stuff for me. But I was ready to emancipate. With the help of Ms. Crystal and Mr. Phil, they had a plan set for me, so... I knew everything that I was supposed to do.
So, Shamika, what about your child? So, you know, we had already established that you and Crystal had this relationship of both being teen mothers. What is your daughter like, and what was that process going through the foster care system with her?
While being in foster care, being pregnant or caring for a child, to me, it was very helpful because I had people, you know, to give me some kind of support. So it wasn't a hard process, but, you know, trying to go to school and finding daycare for her was hard, but, you know, I was able to get free schooling for her. Mm-hmm. So she was able to be in school while I go to school. While I go to work, she's in school. So.
Excellent. And Crystal, considering you have been through that process, what was it important for you to impart to Shamika? What did she have to understand that you were trying to make sure that your relationship facilitated?
It was important for Shamika to understand that she did not have to make all the decisions on her own, that there were individuals around her who were more than happy to help her analyze the different issues that were confronting her and find and identify the resources that would help her manage those issues for herself as well as her daughter.
And so you both have talked a lot about resource management. Let's shift into talking a little bit about how you were able to leverage the foster care system, which is very unwieldy. It changes from state to state. There are a lot of problems with it, unfortunately. Into landing this really prestigious scholarship. Let's talk about that process. Shamika, when did you decide that you first wanted to go to college?
When the Bill Gates Foundation came to my school. I was in the 11th grade, and I was supposed to graduate as a junior from high school, but when they came with this opportunity for low-income families, I was like, okay, I didn't plan to go to college, but since they're giving out a $50,000 scholarship for low-income students, you know, I'll give it a try. And I had to proceed through my 12th grade year, and they awarded me the scholarship, so.
Excellent. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Crystal, what was it like trying to walk her through this process? Because, you know, I'm not too far away from that really stressful senior year of applications and trying to keep your grades up and taking your courses and the SATs. What was it like trying to shepherd Shamika through that process?
Well, the good thing about Shamika is that she is wonderfully motivated and engaged. If you establish a checklist for her and a to-do list, she follows through. So with Shamika, we would have to discuss what it was that she needed to do and what it would take to actually get it done. And she was very responsive. So we were able to manage a lot. Even if she got really nervous or upset, if she was concerned, we would talk it through. And that would help bring her a little bit more comfort so that she could focus on the task.
For listeners just tuning in, my guests are Shamika Moore and Crystal Wortham of the CASA program. So, Shamika, what path led you to Trinity College? Why did you choose that college in particular?
For one, it's a Catholic school, and my dad's side of the family, they're Catholic, so that was one reason why. And then it's an all-girls school. I felt as though, you know, I could have had the opportunity to go to Howard or another school in the area since I do have a baby, so I had to stay here. But Trinity is all-girls school, and I felt as though it would keep me focused because, you know, there's no guys there. So, and I want to be focused on my schoolwork rather than, you know, getting distracted, not going to class because of whatever other reason. So,
That's a wise choice, considering how many college freshmen don't make it out in 4 years anymore.
That's right.
There's a lot of distractions going on.
That's right.
So we had the financial part taken care of, and with your daughter. So what's it like being kind of like a mother who's also in college? I know it's a very different experience than your peers, but your whole life has been kind of a different experience.
It's very hard trying to get my schoolwork done and, you know, showing her some attention once we both do get home in the evening. So she is a toddler, so she's trying to help me do my work, and I'm trying to have her sit down, watch TV, or, you know, do her schoolwork or something like that. But stuff gets done.
And Crystal, how has your role changed? You know, so now that Shamika is an adult, what is your relationship? Did it continue? Clearly, it's continued on after your court duties were over. But, you know, how does that form? Because it doesn't always work that way with foster children, that they create this kind of bond that lasts beyond their time in the system.
That's correct. Essentially, the initiative, which is PYA, Preparing Youth for Adulthood, it has a component where the adult who is appointed as the CASA essentially commits to being a lifelong connection for the youth, even after they do emancipate from foster care. So my role has changed or transitioned to one where I no longer report to the judge that was actually on her case, but I do maintain a relationship with her where she and I still have regular conversations about her day-to-day activities, if she has any questions, comments, concerns about day-to-day living, and just a status to check in with her to see exactly where she is emotionally. Is she comfortable with her life as it's transitioning? And then, again, as I had a child as a teen, I understood that 5 and 10 years later, my life was different than that of someone who didn't have a child. So I try to ask her questions that are directly related to that, because being a senior in college with a child, that's a significant transition. And generally speaking, there's no parenting book out there for parents who become parents in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, there are even less books for parents who have a child in their teenage years. So I try to relate to Shamika on a level that is very familiar to me, because I wish that someone had held my hand in that way.
And Shamika, can you talk a little bit about the relationship that's evolved between you and Crystal now that you are an adult and you're emancipated? Did you have any other adults in your life that you could rely on to talk about, you know, these day-to-day issues?
Not specifically family members. There's one aunt that I could, you know, talk to the way that I do with Miss Crystal, but it's not so much as, you know, a positive feedback. Also, I could talk to my guardian ad litem, which was, you know, a voice for me while I was in foster care. She was an attorney, you know, that went to court with us. So it's not too many people.
All right. And what are your plans after college, Shamika? What do you want to ultimately do with your life?
I plan to be a police officer for DC, and then maybe after 5 years, become a homicide detective.
And Crystal, do you think you're going to return to the CASA program as someone else's appointed guardian? Do you feel as though you have another path you should be on? What's next for you?
I am sure that CASA will have me fulfill another capacity. Exactly what that is yet, I don't know, but I definitely look forward to filling in where CASA finds it appropriate to place me.
Now, Shamika, when you look back on your life, right, I'm sure that you've mentioned before that you interact with a lot of different types of people. I'm sure not all of those people were positive. Is there something that you would want to say to them now, knowing and have gone through the things that you've gone through?
Just that, you know, all of the negative stuff that they may have said to me, I didn't really let that affect me, because I'm still pursuing my goals and, you know, living my life the way that I should, instead of, you know, letting their information feed into me and bring me down. And, you know, I could have gave up on school and gave up on everybody else, but I didn't.
Do you think that's a common problem that faces foster kids, of having that negativity overwhelm them?
Yes.
Did you see anybody like that in your programs or any friends of yours? Or anything?
Yes, like people, you know, people told me a lot when I grew up, you know, you're never going to be anything. You're not going to go to school. You're not going to, you know, do this. You're going to have a lot of kids, or, you know, whatever the case was. I used to let that get to me. But, you know, as I got older, I just pushed it aside and didn't worry about it. But a lot of kids in foster care, you know, they don't know the different route to go. You know, when people tell them all these negative things, they just listen to it and they believe it. So.
And Crystal, as a volunteer, I'm sure that you've at least overseen some of the things that Shamika just informed us about from an adult perspective.
That's true.
What's it like for you going in there as an advocate and seeing these kids, you know, other kids who may not necessarily be as fortunate as Shamika?
I can tell you that it's painful and it's difficult. And I'm going to try not to cry, but there have been times during Shamika's case where she and I had tears because I was just devastated by some of the things that people said and did. She's a child. With a child. And I just can't imagine adults actually consciously mistreating our young people. But I can tell you that Shamika has wonderfully transitioned. She's learned critical thinking. She's learning the value of trust and commitment in a very positive way. But she also has a new appreciation for volunteerism. She herself is interested in becoming an advocate for someone in foster care because she knows the significance of having someone that will be a consistent support and care about your welfare. I can only imagine how difficult it must be to be in foster care. I mean, she went through about 8 different social workers, and that in and of itself to some degree is traumatizing. There has to be somebody there to maintain the connection and the consistency for these young people that are in foster care.
I can understand that. One of the reasons why I know so much about foster care is when I was very young, my sister and I had very close friends, and because their mother had an addiction, they were broken up by the system. So one was sent to Florida. We never found her again. Another one was able to stay in kind of the D.C., Maryland area. So my younger sister established contact with her on Facebook. And my friend ran away because we were 14 at the time when this was happening. And so I've been always fascinated with how the foster system works structurally. And both of you have both been inside of it for so long, Shamika being a ward of the state and you being a volunteer. From both of you, how do we fix this foster system? When you think about all the people who are involved in these kids' lives, who are making these decisions that impact you, what do you need to say to them? What do they need to understand? Because the system is broken and it needs to be fixed and it needs more support. Shamika?
For me, I would say that, you know, it would be nice to have more CASA volunteers like Ms. Crystal that are actually there for the child and to help them. And, you know, for social workers, you know, if you don't want to, you know, actually be a social worker, you know, then don't do it because kids do get that connection with you. And when you leave, it's very hard for them. For you to have a social worker for 3 months and then have to, you know, establish another connection with another one, it's not that easy.
And I would say that we have to recognize that being a part of the foster care program in itself, you have to do much more than just administrative duties. It is a commitment of time and energy to make sure that our young people are cared for and that their welfare is the priority.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. Thank you to my guests. My guests have been Shamika Moore and Crystal Wortham. They both work with the Court Appointed Special Advocates Program, or CASA. Best of luck to both of you on your travels.
Thank you.
Shamika in college and Crystal with your next assignment.
Thanks
for joining us on the Michael Eric Dyson Show.
Our pleasure.